Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. And now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good wherever in the world you are. We are just proud you are here. This is Reverend Terry Power, and we are under a shady tree. And as most of you know, it is not. I'm no longer joined by Onyx. He's moved on to some other things, and I'm now joined by even better company. My lady, my love, my partner, Robin. So now it's under a shady tree with Terry and Robin, and I got the better end of this deal. So, how are you doing tonight, my love?
I am doing very well.
Cool. I see. What, we've had some beautiful weather up here in Pennsylvania the last few days.
It was gorgeous today. Absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. It was, you know, 70-something degrees and dry and a nice breeze. The kids just had a great time playing in the yard, splashing each other in the little baby pool we've got outside.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's that beautiful when I get home this weekend.
I think it's supposed to be nice all weekend.
Yeah, because, I mean, the first few days were just brutal. You know, Monday and Tuesday, it was just hot and muggy, and the air was all, you know, cloudy. And then the last 2 days have been gorgeous. I want to see the mountain in that kind of weather.
It's beautiful.
So, let's see. Well, not much else is going on, so why don't we just go ahead and get straight to it. Unless you had anything yet.
Nope.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are joined tonight by a special guest, Terry Michael Riley. And he is with the Aquarian Tabernacle Church in the Mid-South region, has been doing a lot of work in Arkansas and in the pagan community for over 20 years now, and has written a book on men's mysteries, pagan men's mysteries, and does events every year. And in fact, that event is coming up, the annual event is coming up very soon. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Terry on, so we'll have some fun with Terry and Terry tonight. So Terry, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am, Reverend Terry, and I think we're going to make a good
team, T&T. That's it. I think it could be explosive. All right. So, So, why don't, I mean, I gave a brief introduction, but I think you could probably tell our listeners a little more about you than I did. And you know, let us know who you are. Let them know who you are.
Okay. Like you said, we started, we're an affiliated congregation with the Aquarian Tabernacle Church out of Index, Washington. They're a worldwide organization that was started by Reverend Pete Pathfinder back in 1979. They have affiliated congregational churches under their tax number throughout the United States, and we happen to be one that started with them in 1994. And we established the Southern Delta Church of Wicca, ATC, here in Arkansas in 1994. I'm really proud to be with that organization. Been with them for over 20 years. We've been building the pagan community and the Wiccan community here for the past 20 years. Right now, our archpriestess, Belladonna LeBeau, has appointed me as the presiding elder over the Mid-South region of the ATC-affiliated churches in this area. And we worked really hard for the past 20 years working together, building the image of Wicca and paganism as a positive life-affirming religion and trying to eliminate all the misconceptions and misinformation out there about the faith and getting more out into the public so they can see who we are, what we are, that we're normal everyday people. We just have a different concept of deity than the other faiths of the world, and trying to get us more accepted into the culture and more into the mainstream religion, so to speak.
Excellent. Excellent. And I understand that you're a professor?
Yes, we have the ATC has a Wolstenstein Theological Seminary, and I teach in that seminary as one of the professors. I teach the men's mysteries, and I think I'm going to the next session coming around in January. They want me to teach the Wicca 101 classes for the new beginners coming into the faith, so I'll be teaching that class, one of the required courses. Yeah, we're really proud of the seminary because it's going strong. Most of the faiths around the world today, we found out back when back in 1993 when I was on the Jane Whitney Show or Inside Edition, I can't remember which show it was. Back then, every time they showed my picture on the TV, they put that little thing under there that says, you know, who you are, and it said, self-proclaimed witch, Terry Riley. And I kept asking them, I said, you know, I'm ordained, I'm legally licensed in the state of Arkansas, why can't you put Reverend in front of my name? And they said, well, back then they said most of the TV stations, says, unless you were accredited through a seminary through your faith, then they wouldn't allow to put that Reverend in front of you. Well, now we got a seminary, so now they can put Reverend in front of my name when I get on TV. So
there
yeah, we're making a lot of progress in that area.
Oh, excellent. So now I understand that the Brothers of the Sun Pagan Male Mysteries event is coming up soon. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That sounds exciting
sure.
to me because I used to do a show that was the Pagan Priest Show. It was
sure.
dedicated to men's mystery. So I'm excited to hear what you're doing and share with our listeners.
Well, we're down here in Arkansas. And by the way, we don't have the beautiful weather you're having up there in Pennsylvania right now. It's hot down here. It's sweltering hot. So about 10 years ago, I was sitting around with a group of my men, a congregation in the church, and we got to talking about what the male role was in the religion of Wicca. And most of them didn't have any idea other than they're just supposed to be the consort to the priestess standing in a circle looking pretty. And I said, no, that's not what it's all about. And I found out that a lot of at least the southern pagan men coming into the craft and coming into the faith at that time still had a lot of patriarchal programming left over from Christianity. They were still seeing women in a light and not looking at them. I said, look, guys, you're in a goddess religion. I said, we worship the goddess. I said, now, I've listened to the way you've talked to women. I see the way you interact with women in our. I said, but I see a lot of the old programming coming back through in the way you treat women, the way you interact with women. I said, you're still kind of looking at them as second-class citizens because of the programming. So I think we need to get more in touch with the God aspect inside ourselves, which in turn will get us more in contact with the goddess aspect inside of us. So our church sat together, and I started writing a book, and I wrote a book on Brothers of the Sun, and covering the three aspects of manhood that's associated with the God, called the Robe, Father, and Sage aspects. And then we started having our festivals every year, and I get about 30 or 40 guys together at a state park, and we do rites of passages, and we talk about workshops, and we talk about the role of men and manhood, and the role of a pagan priest, you know, and their job and responsibility to the community, and not only to the church, but to themselves as well. And it's been a highly enlightening experience. We get more and more new people coming in, new men coming in every year. A lot of our old sages come back every year and teach the young men and stuff. It's just a great experience.
Well, excellent. So when is it? When is the next one coming up?
We're having it at Crowley Ridge State Park in Perryville, Arkansas, and it's August 14th, 15th, and 16th next month. And well, I think we have we got guest speakers coming in. We got Alfred Willowhawk from the Ozark Metaphysical Church. He's one of our ATC affiliates. I'm going to be doing some workshops. We got some rites of passages. We got a lot of guest speakers coming in. We usually have the games. We usually have games for the young men. We have the spear toss, the archery contest, and stuff for the young roves that get out there and like to throw a little testosterone around for them. So, but then we get into the mysteries. I think this year we're going to take a journey into the realm of the Dark Lord, and to be a meditative journey that they can take and stuff. And a lot of good camaraderie and a lot of good information, and it builds a bigger community. We got people coming from Arkansas, Tennessee, Missouri, and Mississippi. Some of the men are coming in for this, so we're going to have a great time.
That sounds awesome.
So
when you speak to people about the role of the high priest, what's your take on that? Can you expound a little bit on that?
Sure. Excuse me. Most of the books that have been written about Wicca, most of them talk about the high priest role inside a circle, in a Wiccan circle, as being a consort. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people misinterpret that word. Mm-hmm. I think they look to that as the high priest is supposed to stand there and just be a servant to the high priestess. Well, that's not our take on it. Our take on it is the high priest and the high priestess are equal inside mm-hmm. that circle. The goddess energy and the god energy have to blend together in that union, you know, in that union to make a complete circuit. So if you either have a high priestess or a high priest that dominate the circle, then your circle is lopsided with the energies. You're either going to have a masculine circle or you're going to have a feminine circle. But to have a balance, the high priest and high priestess have to be working together in equal in power. Neither one is either better or lower than the other one, but they have to work together as equal in power. And that's why we train our priests and priestesses at our church, is that we teach, like the old school, we teach that the goddess casts a circle, but the god is the energy that spins that magic around there, and they have to work together to be able to perform the magic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's so nice and validating to hear from somebody from a different tradition outside my own. Because, as you said, all too often I run into people who are like, oh, no, the goddess is, you know, everything. The high priestess is everything in circle. And I know I have been beating this drum for years that, no, when you look around in nature, they are different but equal. And you cannot, you cannot have creation without equal parts of male and feminine. So, you know, to stand there and say, oh, well, and it's absolutely a knee-jerk to the, you know, patriarchy that is so prevalent in our particular culture, especially when it comes to religious dogma, you know, Christian, Judaic, Muslim,
all the Abrahamic faith.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. I'm just drawing a blank.
Yeah.
Well, but,
yeah, see, a lot of times down here in the South, anyway, you got to understand, in the area we're living in here in Northeast Arkansas, most of the people in this area never heard of the word Wicca until 1993. To them, anything that had to do with Wicca or anything like that was associated with Satanism. So when we first came out in 1993 in this area, being really public the way we came out and started promoting the religion of Wicca, like I said, everybody back then around this area associated it with Satanism and all the demographic of that in turn. So we had to educate the people in this area as to what Wicca was, what kind of faith it was, that it was basically a goddess religion and not Satanism. And now that we, you know, 4 years ago, we started an Adopt-a-Highway program. So our church now has an Adopt-a-Highway through the state of Arkansas, and we go out four times a year and clean up a mile stretch of the highway, and we got a little sign out there that the state puts up for us. It says, this portion of the highway is adopted by the Southern Delta Church of Wicca and litter control. And we go out and pick up the trash and stuff. So that helps us advertise.
Terry, I'm sorry to interrupt you. That's just so funny because I was one of the co-founders of a group called the Mid-Atlantic Pagan Alliance. And we did the exact same thing 15 to 17 years ago. And there was a stretch of highway in New Jersey, Highway 35, that led onto one of the most popular beaches in the state of New Jersey. And it said the same thing, the Adopt-a-Highway program. And it was something that when we ceased to exist as a group, broke my heart that we had to stop that and give that up.
Right.
But so kudos to you guys.
Yeah, this is our fourth year doing it. Mm-hmm. And there's other things down here we do, too. We applied 2 years ago to the Home Depot national organization, and the local Home Depot here accepted our church as their local charity, and for a year they donated goods and supplies to our church once a month, and we went out and distributed it to low-income families and other people in need in our community. So we did that for a year. We'd pick up stuff from Home Depot and then take it out to the elderly and to the low-income families and distribute it and work on their houses and stuff. So we did that for a year, and we got good write-ups in the paper about that and stuff. So we do things like that. See, our feeling is if Wicca is going to continue to grow and be up there with the other mainstream religions, then we've got to show that we have a purpose in our community besides ourselves.
Exactly.
We've got to give back to the community we're in, you know, and show the people that, yes, we do have a purpose beyond our own faith just being here. We're giving back to everyone, not just the Wiccans, you know, and the pagans.
Absolutely.
You're saying so many of the things that that I've said so many times, and, you know, Robin and I, you know, working kind of parallel paths before we came together. And again, what she was, you know, echoing what she was saying about how nice it is to hear you talking about the balance between masculine and feminine, and that's something that we have worked very hard to present in the work that we've done together. And we both believe strongly that just like in the, you know, when people do some form of the symbolic great rite, and they say, you know, one is not greater than the other. And you know, but then in practice, it ends up getting skewed in one direction or the other. And so she and I worked very hard.
It was disheartening to me when I went up to Seattle 2 years ago and talked to some of the high priests up there. And I asked them, because I went up there and did the workshop, and I was talking about my book. And I asked them, I said, so what is your role? And they said, well, we were just told, you know, the high priest just stands there and does whatever the high priest says in the circle. I went, no, wait a minute. I said, no, that may be in some tradition, that may be. I said, were you never taught that the high priest and priestess have to join together in spirit and stuff inside that circle to become as one unit? So as her energy is casting that circle and it is her temple, you are the one that spins that energy and makes the magic turn, you know? And they said, well, no, we've never heard that. And I went, well, we got some work to do then, don't we? So we started working on them up there and that, and taking them through some classes and taking them through some rites of passage and stuff. So, it's been an ongoing thing for the past 10 years down here. And it's a struggle sometimes because I found out, this is just my opinion now, I found out that it seems like a lot of even pagan men and women are caught up in our cultural stigmata of what I call the Prince Charming syndrome. Most women in our culture, whether they're pagan or Christian or any other faith like that, they're taught from the time they are born and the way they are raised inside our patriarchal culture that they need a man to take care of them. And then the men are taught to live up to this image of being a Prince Charming to take care of that woman, which is an impossible image that we can never live up to. We're always going to fall short. The women need to be taught they can be complete and whole unto themselves, and they don't need a man to take care of him. And the men need to be taught to back down and let the women quit trying to take care of them, quit trying to fix all their problems, and quit treating them like second-class citizens. And that's where my men's mysteries is going at right now. When I talk to my men, I said, look, guys, I can only take you so far, but I'm also talking to the women out there. I said, when these men unconsciously or subconsciously belittle you through sexist jokes or whatever, you're the ones that are going to have to put a stop to that. I said, you're going to have to put them in their place. Say, wait a minute, guys, that's a little sexist. That's a little extreme there. Where did that programming come from? And once we become and get our men to recognize what they're doing unconsciously, then I think we can change their behavior. They can actually connect to the goddess energy better inside themselves once they understand who they are and what they're doing. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Now, how much does this event cost? I'm looking at the website, and I'm not able to find anything about how much.
We keep it down to where it's pretty reasonable. We charge $25 for the weekend.
Wow.
And that includes the food, and we got cabins, and we got air-conditioned cabins, and a dining hall, and that includes your food and everything. So we keep it pretty reasonable down here. It's $25 for the weekend, and that's Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning.
That's awesome.
Right. Yeah, I don't like. We make just enough money on that to cover the expenses and stuff. We're not looking to make a whole bunch of money off of the event. We're just looking to get the men the information they need. And most of the people that in our area down here work for minimum wage, so I know money's a really tight issue. So we keep it down to where we can just cover our expenses and get the information out to the men, and that's all we're basically trying to do.
Oh, very cool. So tell us a little bit more about the. What's in the book? I mean, I know you wrote a book called Brothers of the Sun, Pagan Men's Mysteries.
Right.
And where can someone get this? Do you have the ISBN or any of that kind of cool information?
Yeah. Well, it's available on Amazon.com, and it's on CreateSpace. You can order it through Amazon.com, and it's also available through any of the bookstores if you go through their on their website. Now, you can't get it in paperback at the book, but you can order it online through the bookstores, but you can get it through Amazon.com. It's listed on there. Yeah, I wrote the book basically to talk about, basically it covers the three aspects of manhood and the three aspects of the God. When I first started writing the book, every book I've ever read about and studied on the goddess covered maiden, mother, and crone aspects of the goddess. There's three triple aspects. So there's triple aspects to the God, and there's father and then there's sage. Well, the bachelor stage of the God, the young teenager at that time, I was going through the different books and I couldn't find a appropriate label for that. And I looked at one book and this one guy called him the inseminator, stage of the God, and I looked that up, and that's...
Oh, that'll go well. Yeah.
I went, no, I don't want to do that. So, and Bachelor didn't have enough of a witchy sound to it, so I was looking through some different books, and I come across the word Rove, R-O-V-E. The Rove is a position in some game that they play over in Australia or someplace, something like soccer, but the Rove position is one who plays all over the field, doesn't have any designated position to play, but they are free roaming to do what they will, to do what they can and assist every other player. I said, well, that would be the Rove stage of manhood. So then I just came up with the three phrases of Rove, Father, and Sage. And in the book, I cover the Rove aspect of manhood, when men are going through that, and I cover the rites of passages. And I cover all the rites of passages that we do here at the church. I cover puberty rites, the Rove rite of passage, initiations, dedications, father rites of passages, and sage rites of passages, and I cover all those inside the book. I give examples of some of the ones that we've done inside the book, and teach, and I talk about in the book how men in our culture have lost touch with that feminine aspect inside themselves. We have been programmed in our culture that being soft or having showing your emotions is a sign of weakness. That's the way it's been programmed into us. You know, even if you're raised a pagan, you still got that programming inside you. So to get in touch with that feminine aspect inside of ourselves means we have to break through some of those barriers. And we have to understand who we are, why we are the way we are, how we came to be about this way, and then work through that to break through some of those barriers to get down to get back in touch with that goddess energy inside of each and every man as well. So that's basically what the book covers in about 232 pages.
Yeah, I was just actually looking at the table of contents, and you know, I will tell you the honest truth. I've ordered it tonight, and I will have it at my house on Tuesday. So I'm looking forward to starting to read.
Okay.
And getting your take on some of it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get a chance to order it before we spoke, but I'm even more excited about it now. I've got a couple of other books on, Wicked for Men and Sacred Paths for Men, and I'm looking to see what I can glean from this book as well as I start looking at doing some form of male mysteries on over here in the Pennsylvania and the Northeast and the eastern side of the country.
And I tell everybody in the beginning of the book, I said, does this book have all the answers? No. But it does give us a starting point to where we can start looking internally into our own individual past. Do I have all the answers? Does anybody have all the answers? No. But it is what I have learned in my 25, 30 years along the path. And do I know everything? No, I do not. But I'm working on it, and this book was a beginning step to get us opened up as a doorway, And there's probably going to be other authors come out there that have, better things to say about it, more in-depth things. But this is a really good book for a beginner, somebody who's starting on the path looking to figure out, even if you're not pagan, this is a good book to figure out where you're at in your own path to manhood, So I think it's a really good book, but I may be prejudiced. I don't know.
you might be a little, you might be a little prejudiced on that. Hey, while we're at this brief pause in the conversation, it is right at the bottom of the hour. So let's go ahead and take a short break. I have selected a song for tonight that I feel sums up this conversation pretty well, and the male mystery. And it's a song by Darv the Bard. You guys have heard it here before. It's one of my favorites. And it is called Antlered Crown and Standing Stone. So stick around, everybody. We'll be. You like this song?
I do like this song. Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Well, you'll get a chance to listen to it. And we'll be back here in just a few minutes. Everybody stick around.
Okay.
Within the leaf, I'm the voice within the tree. I am voice, I am man, the face of the changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand. And everywhere that I have been, my passing turns the gray to green. The birds sing to the dawn, and the land has awoken. And oh, my lady lays with me, and our love weaves a tapestry. I must die for the land to be born again. But don't you cry and don't you grieve, soon the wild hunt I will lead on the night of Samhain. I am lover, I am father, I am horned god and king. I'm the life in all of nature that is reborn every spring. Call the stag and cry of eagle, I am child of barleycorn. And I am the antler crown and standing storm. Where am I this winter's day? Bones of trees, fallen leaves, the time of the winter queen. But through the wind and snow and rain, know that a part of me remains. Holly stands evergreen. I am lover, I am father, I am horned god and king. I'm the life in all of nature that is reborn every spring. Call a stag and cry of eagles, I am child of barleycorn. And I am the antler crown and standing stone.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
I love it. Great song tonight. Great rejoin music. I love our music on Thursday nights. So, all right. So this is Reverend Terry Collar. We're coming back to you for the second half of the Power Hour. Or no, Under a Shady Tree. Good grief. I get so confused.
Sorry.
It's Thursday night. Okay. So Under a Shady Tree, Wow. Now, the cool music's on Thursday night. I got to keep remembering that. Cool music Thursday night. There we go. And, of course, it's no longer Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Onyx, and I have to get those rejoins fixed and all the intros done. But anyway, it is now Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Robin. Hi, darling.
Hello.
All right, and we're joined tonight by special guest Terry Michael Riley, who has been speaking with us about his Brothers of the Sun, Pagan Men's Mysteries event that he does every year. I'm talking about the book and all of its genesis and evolution. And I had a couple of questions. So, Terry, are you back with us?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm right here.
Okay, good deal. All right. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, BTR hadn't done, you know, some freaky gremlin thing.
No, I'm aware of.
No, you're still here. We're talking. It's all good. I had a couple of questions about some of the stuff that that we talked about in the first half hour, and you know, I was looking at your three aspects of the God and of manhood, or you know, of a man's life, and
right.
my first question was, when does it's easy enough to tell when does a man become a father? Well, you know, there's father there, you know,
right.
Being a father. What about sage? What's that demarcation? I mean, it's easier with women to see when they, you know, when their bodies change. Men's bodies don't have that kind of demarcation. Where do we define sagehood?
Yeah, that's a tricky question, and usually when I talk to men that are entering that stage of life, I usually counsel with them and stuff, and there's usually some telltale signs. We have a rite of passage in the church that we call the rite of nobility, and it's usually around the age of 40, somewhere in there, and it coincides with the Lammas Sabbat or Lunasah Sabbat. And it's like a midlife crisis. Most men, you know, when they hit that stage, they go through a midlife crisis. Well, we have a rite of passage to help men get through that. And it's generally during past that time, if they can get that rite of passage and understand what's taking place inside them psychologically and emotionally and spiritually, it helps them move into sagehood. Sagehood would be like classified as a grandfather stage, the one who assists the fathers, and the elder who sits around and talks and counsels the young men and stuff. But one of the things that I have in there, there's three sub-aspects to that stage. One of them is called the grandfather stage, you know, where you're assisting with the young men like a grandfather would. The other one is like the old sage council, where you'd sit around and counsel with him and get his life experiences. And the third one is the one I fit into more, and that's the weird little holy man. That's the guy that's always comical and plays the Yoda stage and teaches through jokes and pull my finger and stuff like that. So when the men enter that stage, they kind of got to the point in life where they go, you know, I've been through so much here, and they just don't take life so seriously anymore. I mean, the fathers and the roles, you know, they're all intense and seriousness and stuff. And the sage's role is to teach these young men, you know, you're going through some tough times and it's going to be rough, but it's all going to work out. Believe me, you know, life's not that serious. I mean, you know, yes,
well,
it is serious, but you don't have to take it so seriously. Right.
It's also important to take seriously.
Right. Yeah. You know, one of the greatest things I found out about laughter is it creates natural endorphins, which eases pain. So, if you get them to laugh about the situation, if you get them to laugh about the situation, and it seems to open up and get those natural endorphins flowing, so you can get more clarity to the situation, and you're not bogged down by all the images and the emotions and stuff, and you can see things a little bit more clearly. You're kind of rising above the situation to see the true clarity of the situation, you know, in a higher echelon, so to speak. So that's part of the job of the sage, is one of the ones that takes the young fathers to the side and go, yeah, boy, I know things are going rough here, you know, but, you know, let's go over here and let's go watch a little TV, let's talk about it a little bit, and play a game of checkers or do whatever we got to do to get your mind relaxed so you can see more clearly. That's the job of the sage, to make people feel at ease and help them through their struggles without putting any more pressure on them, trying to take some of the pressure off of them. Yeah.
Understood. Now, Robin and I just finished a series of shows where we were talking about the different archetypes. And, you know, we were talking about how the women have the maiden, mother, crone. Now, I've always looked at the masculine to have four aspects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with the hero and lover.
Right.
And Robin and I have discussed this any number of times where we believe that the maiden actually has two aspects with very different energies, where there's that young innocence.
Yeah,
and that energy there's with it, and then the sexually awakened aspect of the maiden. Well, the hero and the lover kind of correspond to that with men. How do you combine those into one, or how does that play in? I want to hear your thoughts, because I'm curious.
Okay. All right. When I explain it at the festival and stuff, when I do my workshop, I'll explain to them that it all starts with the child of promise. You know, when you're first born in the male species. And then you move into puberty. Okay. And then once you get into puberty, you move into the rose stage. Now, this is all the same energy. And at the rogue stage of manhood, I say there's three sub-aspects. There's the hunter, the lover, and the protector. And then I cover each one of those sub-aspects in the chapter dealing with the rogue. The hunter aspect, you know, that's the Canunos energy. The lover aspect, which is at the, you know, and then the protector aspect. Now, as you grow, that energy shifts and changes. It moves from a rogue stage into a father stage of energy. Now, those three sub-aspects are going to change as well. The hunter becomes the provider, the lover becomes the consort, and the protector becomes the magician in the father aspect. Now, it's the same energy. The way I like to describe it is a rogue has a lot of explosive energy. They can make magic happen. They can throw their energy out there. It's like throwing a grenade. They will make massive change happen with that explosive energy. And that's the power of a robe. Now, the father energy is more refined. As you grow older, you find out you don't have to throw that grenade out there as a father. You give up the grenade energy and making everything explode. You kind of take a rifle with a scope, and you kind of center that energy down to make change happen more specifically. So you refine that energy down so you're not expending so much energy, but you're still getting the same thing done. And then, once you move into the stage. So I cover all of it, and then I have two other aspects called the warrior and the healer, you know, aspects of manhood, which will flow through all three levels at the same time, you know, all three aspects.
Yeah, cool. Now, you're talking about the older energy and the younger energy. I always tell a joke. It was passed on to me by, actually, I think my grandfather.
Right.
And you know, and I've heard the joke repeated, throughout my life. But it's the old bull and the young bull standing up on the hill looking down, and the young bull says, "Hey, let's run down and get a cow."
Right.
And the bull and the older bull just says, "Why don't we just walk down and get them all?"
Yeah, I use that same joke in the book.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent.
See, I knew this was going to be a good thing.
That's what I was talking about. As a father grows, you know, and I had a guy come to me years ago, one of my congregation, and he was a police officer. And he was not married or anything, and he was about 33 at the time. And he came and counseled with me. He said, "Terry," he said, "I got some stuff going on in my life, and I need to talk to you. He says, I'm getting these urges, and I'm getting these feelings, and I don't know what's happening." And after he talked to me for a while, I said, "Well, it sounds like you're hearing the call of the father." He says, oh, wait a minute. He goes, I don't have any children. I don't plan. I said, no. I said, you don't understand. The father aspect of manhood really, it doesn't particularly pertain to planting a seed. A lot of times, a man who takes the role of clergy, taking on the responsibility of caring for the community and stuff, is hearing the call of the God aspect of the father. So it's not really about seeding children so much as it is accepting responsibilities out beyond yourself and stuff. And you can take that to the community. You can take it into politics. You can take it into a lifelong work. From my own example, I was 18 when I had my first child. But my father didn't teach me any of this stuff. He was raised a Christian, so I wasn't taught the old ancient ways. So I seeded a child when I was 18 years old, but I didn't really hear the call of the father until I was about 30, when I was ready to settle down and take on that responsibility, you know. So what I teach a lot of my rogues and maidens now is, you know, you need to explore life. You need to do the things that a rogue and a maiden is supposed to do. And explore the life, and I said, wait till that call comes to you, to where you're more mature and you've got some life experiences under your belt, and got some stuff going on, so you're ready to hear that call of the mother or the father, and that way you're more psychologically and emotionally, and you can go through the rites of passages to help you ease into that. So, you know, and my daughter took that to faith. I mean, she's 28 years old, got married, she still ain't had no kids yet. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you being with us, and we are moving toward the top of the hour. We may run a little long tonight, if you don't mind staying with us, because okay. I want to hear a little bit. You are also an actor, and we've not really talked about that yet. I'd like to hear a little bit more about some of your acting and this independent film company you work with.
Okay. No problem. Yeah. You want to talk about it now or later?
Oh, right now.
Now would be
good. Right now, I'm changing the subject. Okay. Radical right. Change of subject. Left turn. Okay. Here we go.
Okay. All right. About, back in April, through all the things of me running the church and stuff, my hours are pretty busy over here, but one of my congregation sent me a message on Facebook and said there's an independent film company that's looking for auditions for people to audition for a TV web series that they're producing in Memphis. And I said, well, okay, I'll go over there. I'll go over there and audition for it. So I went over there, and I was kind of concerned because I got long gray hair. I got a tattoo on my forehead. I mean, I look like Gandalf, you know, most of the time anyway. So I was kind of concerned about that. But I went in there, and I walked into the director, and he's sitting there, and he goes, so have you ever done any acting? I said, well, no, not really. I said, I've been on TV and been in newspapers and stuff. He said, okay. And he goes, can you show me what you can do? And I said, sure, what do you want? And he said, well, can you show me anger? I said, okay. So I turned around, dropped my coat on the floor, spun back around, looked at him, and I started screaming at him, coming across the table at him, yelling and screaming. Everybody outside could hear me and everything, and everybody started rushing into the room, and he stopped me with, can you walk outside for a minute? I said, sure. He comes back in. He goes, you're fantastic. He goes, I love your facial expressions. I want you to play this role of a CIA agent who's a hitman and a terrorist. I said, okay. I started doing rehearsals then, and we just completed filming the first season of Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R. It's an FBI drama series, and I play Jasper Adams, an old CIA agent who's been undercover for a year and a half, and I get to shoot an Uzi, I get to use a .45, I get to play this real evil character, so I'm having a ball with it. And
cool, so you're playing the bad guy?
I'm playing a bad guy, yes, sir.
The bad guy's having more fun.
Yeah, everybody said, Terry, that's completely out of character. You're the good old sage. I said, yeah, but I guess I'm a pretty good actor as well. So.
Well, the bad guys in the movies always have so much fun anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get to
play up, it. Right up until they win. Yeah,
yeah, and as a matter of fact, like I said, every time he got ready to film a scene, he'd always put me in the background. I'm not a starring role, but I got a supporting role. He goes, Terry, I need you over here in these bushes so I can fan the camera over you so I can show the creepy effect. I said, okay, you want me to be the creepy effect, all right. But it worked out because I was kind of concerned about me being a Wiccan priest and the tattoo on my forehead and everything. And that's never came up, which shows me that even though, you know, I may be a Wiccan and I may be prominent and stuff, that they can cast me in other roles, and that's not even a factor. You know, so that shows me that the face is moving in more into the culture, and it also had an advantage because now we're going to start filming a new series next month, and it's called The Alexanders, and it's a supernatural science fiction thing. So he cast me in a starring role as a head demon. So I get to play a head demon next series that comes out. So I'm really excited about that. And we got a pretty good following. It's produced by Dent Films out of Memphis, an independent film group over there. Adrian Dent is the director and writer. He's a fantastic. He's 24 years old, full of talent. He's got a great bunch of actors working together over there. We're actually fixing to enter into the 48-hour film contest in Memphis, where you sign up and you get 48 hours to make a film, get it back in, and if you win the contest on that's a $10,000 prize. So, and we're pretty confident we're going to enter that, and we think we're going to win it. So, like I said, we got a great bunch of people we're working over there with. I'm excited about it. First time I've ever done any real acting, and everybody, we got a pretty good following. I've been promoting it, and I think we got about 3,000 people following the series now since it started coming out. We're in our third episode, just aired Tuesday, and then we're going to start filming a new episode. So, everybody, all the Wiccans are excited about it that I've been promoting. They're all right. So, and one of the great things about it is he said we needed extras. I said, okay. I said, I got 8 of my church members then. I said, let's go over there. I said, he needs 8 members as extras. So the 7th episode, when it comes out, is going to be great because all the members of my church got killed in that episode, so it's going to be great. They all had death scenes. They was happy and tickled to death.
Tickled to death. Now, I got to how does someone watch this stuff? I mean, where is it on? Is it on TV somewhere, or is it on the Internet? What's the deal?
Yeah, it's a web TV series. It's on YouTube. You go up under Dent Films, and he's got all the episodes on there. He's produced other series as well. It's also all over Facebook. I got it on Daily Motion and Vimeo. You should go anywhere on Facebook. If you go to Writer Series, it's a group on there. They post the episodes every week. And if you look up Dent Films on YouTube, you'll see all the episodes on there. So, it's going really great. I mean, I'm really excited about it. I didn't think I was that good of an actor, but everybody says I am, so I guess it's working out.
Well, excellent.
Good for you.
Tell our listeners a little bit about how to get in touch with you.
Okay.
If anyone's interested in attending the Brothers and the Sun event coming up in August.
Sure.
And just general contact stuff.
Okay, you can go to our website, our church website, which is sdcwatc.org. You can also contact me on Facebook. Just look up Terry Michael Riley or Terry Riley. You'll see me on there. my email address, if you want that, is terryriley1954@yahoo.com. That's where I get all my email. You can contact me through there. You can also contact the Aquarian Tabernacle Church website, the main website there. They got me listed on there, and my contact information's on there as well as Presiding Elder of the Mid-South. So, if you go to sdcwatc.org, we do all of our announcements on there. It's got some of the videos that we put out for the church. Last year we did something for the kids around here. We did a Rocky Horror New Moon Full Moon Circle. I got to play Riff Raft. we had a great time with that.
Did you wear the corset and the fishnets? That's what I want to know.
I didn't get to do that, but next year I do get to play that role.
Okay.
We kept it clean. We used the music off of Glee and stuff. We kept it clean for the kids and everything, but we had a great time with that. And if you go to our website, on the church website, you'll get to see that video. We posted it on there. We did that in June of last year, and we had a great time with it. We always got something constantly going on to bring in the young people. We've always felt like, I want to keep up the traditions of Wicca and paganism and the old ways, and I want to promote those. But we're moving into new demographics in America. I mean, you know, the people, the demographics of people's cultures and mindsets and concepts are changing drastically from what they were, say, 30 or 40 years ago. So I always want to keep the church updated. So we try to do things to bring in the young people, things that are going on in current events in our culture, and keep them updated and bring kind of blend it in the new with the old, bring in the ancient ways and bring them into modern times so everybody can get an example of the beauty and of how our faith has been going on for thousands of years, but how it's also changing and growing into our modern times and has a place in this 21st century. You know, that we're going to be equal to the other main face of the world out there eventually, as long as we keep promoting and keep getting out there and letting people know who we are and putting the truth about what our faith is. I believe that we're going to move into the mainstream along with the other major faces of the world, and that's what we've been working on down here for the past 20 years.
Yeah, well, I've been preaching about taking our rightful place along the world, you know, the churches of the world for a lot of years, so it's exciting to hear a brother. And I mean, so many of the things you're talking about are things that I have talked about, and you've had an opportunity to manifest some of those things, and I have not yet. So I'm inspired by a lot of what I've heard tonight. And you know, I've also been talking for a lot of
years. I saw his website.
I've been talking a lot of years about children's ministries. And, you know, Robin and her events, they were very much about the children and including children and making, you know, bringing families into the faith, not just adults.
Oh, yeah. We do a May Day festival over in Memphis every year. And one of the things we do there, we call it a dragon hunt. I dress up as a wizard, and I have somebody dress up as a dragon. And then I have other characters, and then I take all the children, and usually have 30 to 40 children there, and I take the children as the wizard on a dragon hunt to go wake up the dragon. And we use four magical stones of earth, air, fire, and water to do so. So we teach them the ways through this thing, and they enjoy that, and I have a great time with it. I'd rather work with children than I had with adults anyway. I found out if you put on a costume, kids will do you anything you want them to do.
Yeah.
And as long as you make it fun for the children, and you're teaching them the ancient ways through a fun context and stuff like a dragon hunt or the maypole dance and stuff like that. Man, you know, I believe the old phrase, if you raise a child up in a certain way, they won't deter from it when they become an old person. So if you indoctrinate them early into the faith, let them have a choice whether they want to follow this faith or any other faith out there. Don't force it on them, but indoctrinate them to it, let them expose them to it. You know, that gives them a choice. That's the same way I did with my children. I sent them to a Christian church, and also let them join in our church here. And I gave them a choice when they got old enough to make their own decision. They all, of course, I was glad they all took Wicca, but you know, I did give them the exposure to choice. I didn't force it down their throat. So that's what we're trying to do is just, our children are our next generation. And if we bring it to them now and educate them, maybe, just maybe, our children won't be raised up with all this gunk that's been programmed into them that we're having to overcome from our culture, from the patriarchal culture of Christianity that programmed into us. If we get it into them now, maybe they have a better chance of not having to fight to override all this stuff to see the true reality of life itself. So if we get them in there now and teach them about the gods, the goddesses, the elements and magic and the ways of the cosmos and the ways of nature, then they won't be bogged down by all the awful programming that I had to override, you know, that nobody taught me when I was younger. So that's one of the things we have our youth ministry here at the church. We're always constantly reaching out. We got programs for the 5 to 6 year olds. We got programs for the teenagers. We got programs for the rogues, fathers, maidens, mother crones. We got programs going on to whatever they need. See, our job here at the church is our clergy, the way we look at it. Our clergy here at Southern Dubs Church Wicca are here to assist you on your personal path to your concept of deity. We're an eclectic church. We don't promote any tradition above another. We promote all the traditions. So if you come to our church and you have an interest of following, we're here to help you upon your path of spiritual destiny. And we don't dictate what that path is. We help you find your own path. And that's what we do at the Southern Dubs Church of Wicca.
Oh, very cool. Well, I'm looking forward to additional conversations. Okay. Now that I've got your contact information, and I want to say thank you very much for being with us tonight, for sharing all of what you've been doing, and how you're you know, helping people and inspiring another one tonight. So thank you, and
and you too, Robin.
I was very quiet tonight. I was letting you guys chat.
Well, I've immensely enjoyed sitting here talking to y'all. So it's been my pleasure just being on the show with y'all. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Now, I do need to take a little bit of time and do some business for the, you know, tell people how to reach us. And I'm going to go ahead and let my lady start. How does somebody get in touch with you, darling?
Okay, you can get in touch with me and or Terry at the littlestonebridge@gmail.com email address. You can also reach me.
You keep saying it that way, and you say at thelittlestonebridge@gmail.com email address, and people are going to think the is part of it. The email address is littlestonebridge@gmail.com.
Okay.
Yeah, please continue. Okay. I apologize for interrupting, Byron.
All right. And then you can reach me on my Facebook page at Robin A. McKean, or on my my Friday night show, Spiritual Wellness, Physical Health, also has a Facebook page you can reach me at. And, of course, you can reach me through the station. And the station's email address is CERN.org, I believe. Is that correct, Terry?
Yes, it is CERN, CERN.org at gmail.com.
Yep. I think that's about it. How did they reach you?
All right. Well, let's see. Easiest way to find me is probably the public figure page, Rev Terry Power HP on Facebook. My friend's page is Terry Power, and when you're searching, it says something about Spiritual Unity Radio Network in the first line or two, so that's easy enough to find me there. Follow me on Twitter, at RevTerryPowerHP. And did you mention the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page? If not, I just did, so... So there we are. I want to thank again Terry for joining us. That was great conversation tonight, and I look forward to more.
Okay, just call me anytime.
All right, well, you let us know when there's a break in the film, and maybe we'll bring you back on, and you can talk about how the event went. Maybe we'll bring you back on sometime around the end of August, first part of September.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
All right, sounds wonderful. So, again, thanks to all of our listeners for being with us, all the comments in the chat room. It's been a lively discussion in there tonight. And all of our listeners live and in the archives, we're honored that you spend your time with us. And we know you have a choice. And you choose to spend time with us, and we are honored and thrilled to have you. So thanks again to everyone. And with that, I will wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Blessed be all.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.